It is time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa. And, Pat, this week was really only one hot topic, so we're going to focus on it. It is the President's Cup, the eighth edition of the President's Cup, taking place this weekend in San Francisco. Harding Park Golf Course, a phenomenal public track up there in Northern California, 7,100-yard par 71 course. And going into today's final 12 singles matches, four-day format for the President's Cup, unlike the Ryder Cup, which is 3 days, and they double up on every day. The President's Cup, you only have you have your six matches on Thursday, you have your six matches on Friday, and then they double up five morning, five afternoon matches on Saturday. And yesterday we saw the morning alternate shot foursomes. The Americans took 3.5 of the 5 points available. In the afternoon, the team split 2.5 points apiece. So going into today's final day of competition, the 12 singles matches, the Americans have a 3-point lead, 12.5 points to 9.5 points. And Pat, I'm just curious to start things off here before we get to some of the details. What are your basic impressions through the first 3 days?
Well, I think, and we talked about this a little bit last week, Russ, I didn't think the European team or the international team was super strong. I mean, we named a couple players like Ernie Els that were playing decently coming into this, but a guy like Adam Scott, who has been terrible, although he hasn't been too bad in this President's Cup, has been terrible for the last, over a year. And, just some of the people that were involved in this have not won recently for the internationals, and conversely, a bunch of the U.S. players were playing good, and I think that's played out to form. You saw on the first day, Justin Leonard missed like a 3-foot putt that would have given the U.S. a full point. Instead, they had to settle for a half in that last match on that Thursday. But aside from that, I think it's gone pretty much to form. Tiger Woods and Steve Stricker have been unbelievable, and Phil Mickelson has really been unbelievable as well, playing with a bunch of different partners. The internationals are going to have to win, I think, 8 of the matches today, which is pretty much impossible. So I would say overall our impressions pretty much have followed the form what we thought they would when we talked about this last week.
Yeah, I would agree, Pat. I mean, it's a little closer than I expected. I really did expect the USA to kind of run away with this thing, and it hasn't been a complete runaway, although the U.S. has been dominant. And you mentioned it. It would have been a 2-point lead, 4 points to 2 points on Thursday, had Leonard just made that 3-footer. Instead, he misses it, they have, and the Americans end day one with just a 1-point lead, 3.5 to 2.5, and it was still only 1 point going into the yesterday's morning. You know, USA was only up 6.5 to 5.5 after 2 full days of matches, so it was very close. And then yesterday, the Americans pulled away in the morning. The morning alternate shot matches yesterday, as I think really where this has been decided, and unless the internationals have a phenomenal comeback today, and as you mentioned, they've got to win 8 of the 12 singles matches today, Americans only need to win 5 of them. And yesterday, the Americans took 3.5 of the 5 points available. Tiger and Stricker had a phenomenal comeback victory in those morning alternate shot matches yesterday. Tim Clark and Mike Weir were one up with 2 holes to go. Tiger makes a 25-foot birdie putt on 17 to square the match, and then he hits a 3-iron from 250 yards to 8 feet, and the putt was conceded after the internationals missed their birdie putt. So all the Americans, of course, had to do was 2-putt from 8 feet to win, so they conceded that 8-foot eagle putt that Stricker had, and the Americans took hold of this of these matches, and then they split the matches yesterday afternoon in the 4 balls, 2.5 points apiece. So Americans have the advantage today, and I don't expect the internationals. I expect the Americans to win more of the matches today, singles matches, than the internationals. So the final point differential is probably going to be somewhere around 4 or 5.
And that's why I think, even though, like you're saying, it's probably closer than what we thought, it's very difficult in 4 balls or alternate shots to really, quote unquote, run away with the thing. You're going to get a lot of halves. You're going to get a lot of matches coming down to, the last hole. And that's why that point differential to me is, even though it's only 3, because it's come under the formats of the 4 balls and the alternate shot, that's still a fairly decent margin. Because, like you said, I think today, where the Americans have always had success in the singles, they're probably going to win, I don't know, 7 to 9 of these matches, and then the final margin will be much greater. But the interesting thing, Russ, I'm in the airport yesterday in Fort Lauderdale, and just before getting on the plane, you know, they had the matches on one of the TVs, and all the other TVs, you know, in the sports bar were on football. But I'll tell you, a good half of the crowd was watching golf, watching that one TV that had the golf matches on, as opposed to the other TVs, which all had all different kinds of football game, college football games on. So the interest level in golf, Russ, you know, just by that little barometer, still there even in mid-October.
Interesting. And, you know, they said the same thing last night on the Golf Channel at the in the post game and live from the President's Cup post game. Once the matches were done on NBC, you flipped to Golf Channel, and Brandel Chambly was talking about that, how most of the people there yesterday in San Francisco, usually in at golf tournaments in September and October, you're used to hearing people, you know, overhearing conversations about college football or NFL football at least a little bit. And Brandel Chambly said yesterday, all day long on the premises, he didn't hear anyone talking about football at all. It was all about Tiger or what Stricker had just done or what Phil had just done. And you mentioned the three best players, and I talked about this at the start of the show, Pat. It's a no-brainer who the three best players have been for the Americans. It's the guys that just finished 1, 2, and 3 in the FedEx Cup playoffs 2 weeks ago. Tiger, Steve Stricker, and Phil Mickelson. And it makes sense. They were playing the best golf here the last month, and they are continuing to do that here in the matches. And the Tiger-Stricker team have been world beaters, 4-0, first pairing to go 4-0 in team competition in 30 years since Larry Nelson and Lanny Watkins were 4-0 at the 1979 Ryder Cup. Tiger had found a great pairing with Jim Furyk at the 2006 Ryder Cup and the 2007 President's Cup, and obviously he didn't play last year in the 08 Ryder Cup, and now it seems Tiger has found another guy that he just meshes so well with in Steve Stricker.
And I think what you're also seeing, and I know we talked about this also last week, Russ, is the freshness with both Tiger and Phil that you normally don't have at this time of the year. Tiger not playing at all last year in the Ryder Cup. And even though he's played in a bunch of tournaments, including the FedEx Cup, all four of them, you know, him not playing in that Ryder Cup last year, I think has given him a little bit of a boost in this President's Cup. Maybe, you know, he felt like he maybe missed this type of competition a little bit. And Phil, you know, having to take so many months off to deal with his wife and his mother's breast cancer, again, not normally playing and not normally playing well later in the year, you know, hasn't played that much. So both of those two guys who, you know, might come into this event kind of nonplussed, like, hey, let's just get this over with, I think have kind of rejuvenated that whole team because they're both so into it.
You know, on the international side, Pat, I think everyone would agree that the best player through 3 days, and it's a surprise, has been Tim Clark. He hasn't lost a match. He's had a couple of matches. He's also had a couple of wins. And it just, yesterday he halved both of his matches. The morning match, it was almost like a defeat for the internationals because Mike Weir and Clark were one up with two holes to go before Stricker and Woods made that comeback to win it. So they actually lost that match. But then he did have his afternoon match as he was paired with Vijay Singh. They halved with Phil Mickelson and Sean O'Hare. But Tim Clark has been awfully good. And it just seems to me, Pat, it's, you know, I've used Tim Clark as an example of what is wrong with the PGA Tour. He's a guy who's won over $10 million in his career without not even winning once, not one victory on the PGA Tour. He's come close a number of times. And he plays good in these international competitions, in the President's Cup. Surprising to me that he's been so good this week, and also surprising to me that he's never won on the PGA Tour.
Well, more surprising to me that he's never won on the PGA Tour than he's doing good. Tim Clark, you know, you're right, he has not won, and that's a fact, but he's a quality player. I mean, getting himself into those positions time after time and not coming through is certainly a detriment to him and a mark on his ultimate resume. I do think Tim will eventually win at some point. I think he's too quality of a player. But I think, you know, what you see in these team competitions sometimes, Russ, are guys like Tim Clark, another guy I'll throw at you, Colin Montgomery, not a ton of success on the PGA Tour, but a lot of talent, a world of talent, got himself into position a lot of times to potentially win golf tournaments, including majors. Tim Clark's one of those guys, I think, that has an abundance of talent, and he's just reached that level that we all have as golfers that, you know, we get to a certain level and we can't seem to get, you know, that notch better. And for Tim, I think it's winning on the PGA Tour. And I think once he does that, you know, the floodgates might open and he'll win a few times. But much like Mickelson, it took him forever to win that first major. David Duval took him a long time to win. And then when they did, kind of the pressure was off. So I think you can see the talent with Tim Clark in these types of matches. You know, maybe the pressure is, and he doesn't feel that same pressure because it's a team type event. But he is a quality player, and for whatever reason, he just can't seem to get it done on the PGA Tour. But I think it will happen for him.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. We do it each and every week, discussing hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa. Pat, last thought for you here, and that is regarding the captain's picks. For the Americans, Freddie Couples went with Lucas Glover and Hunter Mahan. Neither of those players have been that good this week. Glover hasn't won anything. He's I think he's lost all of his match. He might have halved one match. Yesterday he was paired with Sink and they lost to Allenby and Ogilvy. And Hunter Mahan, he's had a win and a half, but he's also lost a couple matches. On the international side, Adam Scott has been one of the worst players for the Nationals. Ryo Ishikawa has been a bright spot for Greg Norman. He's paired with Y.E. Yang, and they did lose yesterday to Woods and Stricker, but they won their morning alternate shot match by defeating Kenny Perry and Zach Johnson, 3-2. Yang and Ishikawa won 3-2 over Perry and Johnson. So Ishikawa has been a bright spot for Norman, but the bright spot that Ishikawa has been is not going to overshadow how much of a disappointment, and everyone saw this coming, Adam Scott has been.
Yeah, no, and we, again, talked about it last week. You know, he hasn't been playing well for a long time. He's not going to all of a sudden catch lightning in a bottle. He's dealing with, I think, some personal issues and obviously dealing with some swing issues. And under the pressure of a team event, you're not going to be able to hide too much, you know, with those issues that you got with your swing. I think that was a hometown call by Greg Norman, and he probably regrets it. Should have just went with whoever was next on the list rather than reaching for Adam Scott. But because he's Australian, I think that's why Norman felt like he should go with him. For Ishikawa, I think it's a situation where a lot of first-time guys that get in there don't feel any pressure at all, that nothing's expected of them, so they can go in there. I remember Phil Mickelson, I think the first time he played in the Ryder Cup, everybody was a little critical, you know, hey, what are we going to get out of him? And he did really well. So it's one of those situations where with Ishikawa, I don't think there was a lot of pressure on him. Being the youngest guy, expectations were probably pretty low, and he could just let his game go and speak for itself. With Adam Scott, I mean, you know, it's like you said, you just had to see this coming, and I don't think the Internationals would have won either way, even if they had a really good player in there for Adam Scott, but you never know. I just think that was throwing away a position on the team.
In regards to Greg Norman, Pat, 2 years from now, the President's Cup is in Australia, in Melbourne. Hard to imagine the international team sticking with Norman. It'll be tough. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a lot of pressure to let Norman continue as captain. And there is precedent for President's Cup captains staying on, you know, through a couple of cups. In fact, Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player just were captains for the Internationals and Americans, respectively, for the three previous President's Cup, the 2003 tie in South Africa, and then the 05 and 07 American victories. So, you know, this with Couples and Norman this year, first time in a long time that the captains weren't Nicklaus and Player. But I'm sure there's going to be a lot of pressure from the Australian contingent to let Norman captain 2 years from now, 2011 in Melbourne. But if they lose this, and they're going to lose this cup, and if they lose it in a landslide, if the Americans win a majority of the singles matches today, considering that it's been such a bad week for, it's not his fault that he, you know, word that his 15-month marriage to Chris Everett came to a close this particular week, but it just seems it hasn't worked out with Norman this year. And how did they keep him on 2 years from now in Australia?
Well, I think in these situations, Russ, the captains in these types of team events are very overrated. Paul Azinger accepted because I do think he was the deciding factor for the Ryder Cup last year. But by and large, you know, if you just look at the assistant captain is Michael Jordan. I mean, it just goes to show you these guys really don't have that much of an impact, I don't believe, on these events. It's the players that are out there. Sure, they got to get the right pairings and all that type of stuff. But ultimately, Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods should be able to play together and be successful. So I don't you know, really put a lot of credence into the captain.
Yeah, usually the captains have a say when it's on a negative. Like Hal Sutton at the 04 Ryder Cup, I think he was a big reason the Americans lost that thing.
Now, and you can, certainly, anytime you lose, that's, you look for a zillion reasons why guys lost. I just don't. The captain's not hitting any shots. The players are the ones that are out there, and they're all, you know, world-class players. And if they're not getting it done, then that's the reason you're losing, not because of the captain. But I do think Azinger last year with his pod system and, you know, what he did without Tiger Woods to really make those guys feel like a team was a factor in that. But for the most part, like you said, Norman's had some personal issues that he's had to deal with. I think it's going to be difficult for him not to be the captain in 2 years. And the one place that the Americans have lost this cup, and that was in Australia. So I would expect, unless Norman doesn't want it, which he might not, that he will probably be the pick in 2 years.
All right, so the Americans go into today's final day of competition, the 12 singles matches, with a three-point lead, 12.5 to 9.5. Pat, I think both of us agree Americans likely win 6 or 7 or perhaps even 8 of these singles matches today, and the final deficit is about 5 points or so for the Americans. Their 6th victory in 8 editions of the President's Cup. Last thought, Pat, does this thing need to be tweaked a little bit? This is, you know, this is becoming like the Ryder Cup was in the 50s and 60s and 70s.
I don't think so yet. I just think this is a down. I think this is a down year for the internationals. I think there's quality players there. I mean, they're able to pick from the whole world except for Europe and Ireland. So I think this is just a down year for these guys. And you have guys like Ishikawa coming up. I think they're going to be fine. They'll probably go back to Australia and win. So I'm not saying to tweak it yet. If they go into Australia in 2 years and get crushed again, at that point, maybe they need to rethink it. But I don't know what else they can do unless, you know, they're going to allow the Europeans to play in it, which will ruin the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, so, good point, Pat. You know, we'll likely see Adam Scott and Robert Allen both on that team in 2 years. And then also, you know, guys like Stuart Appleby and Aaron Baddeley, who aren't on this team this year, they'll probably be on that team if they don't make it on points, probably by captain's picks, considering where it's going to be in 2 years. So I would think there's going to be a lot of Aussies on that international team 2 years from now, and they'll probably have a very strong home field advantage, and they might win this thing 2 years from now. So we'll see. But first things first, the 2009 edition of the President's Cup later today at Harding Park Golf Course in San Francisco. And there's a football game to be played later today in Detroit. The Lions taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers at Ford Field. Pat, enjoy the day. We're pulling for a Steelers win. I don't think that's going to be a heavy task, so I would expect a fun day for you and your family, a triumphant day up there in Detroit for the Steelers clan.
I hope you are right, Russ.
All right. Have a great Sunday, Pat. Safe travels to you.
Thanks. Talk to you and see you next week.
There he is, my esteemed co-host, Pat Rooney Jr., joining me here on Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. That was our Palm PGA National Resort and Spa. That's right. That's what it is. PGA National Resort and Spa, Inside the Rope segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa.